This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Puck deep in the Vancouver zone to our right. Far circle. Danforth gets it free to the line. Long shot. Rebound. They score! Kiefer Sherwood into the Blue Jackets zone. Hauled down by Favreau. It's going to be a Columbus penalty. Joshua driving the net. Center front. Ratu scores! Atu Ratu on the delayed call. Beats Elvis Merzlikins. His second of the third period. And it's 6-6. The Canucks answer right back with 2:29 left.
Batch, this game is drunk. 12 goals.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
It's the youngster, Jonathan Lekkermäki. He won it against the Devils. He needs to score to keep this one alive. And he's wide onto the right wing. Lekkermäki in on Merzlikins to the slot, to the forehand. He's stopped, and the game is over. The Blue Jackets come from behind after trailing 5-3 in the third period. And they beat the Canucks in a wild affair at Nationwide Arena, 7-6 in the shootout.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks blow a 3-goal lead and a 2-goal lead and drop a 7-6 decision. 7-6, yes, 7. In Columbus against the Blue Jackets, pick up 1 point, should have had two, and really makes it a lot harder in what is already a very difficult playoff race for the Vancouver Canucks. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. And as much as this game was fun and we can have some fun with what happened, and you know, we always, you know, have a good time doing the show, but it's disappointing. The Canucks did everything they should do to win a hockey game for the most part. Had some breakdowns, had some bad defensive moments. Couldn't get a save from Lankinen tonight. You score 6 goals. You got to win a hockey game, Vic. Like, how do you lose a game scoring 6 goals? 6?
Yeah.
Like, we said tonight before the game, if you get 3, you got to win. You got 6, and you still couldn't win the hockey game.
Leading after 1, leading after 2, right?
The
two
leading things, with minutes to go.
The thing that has plagued their season is OTLs and closing out games. Well, what do we see today? Don't close out a 3-0 lead. Don't close out another lead, multiple leads, and lose in overtime and shootout. And look, it was a fun game, and there's plenty to talk about, but eventually, like, these things stack up, and all those lost points with the course of the season add up. And Colin from the Caribou, like, I'm mad and I'm disappointed. That was a point loss, and certainly was, and it kind of a huge blow in their pursuit right now.
Let's welcome in Randeep Janda into the conversation to the game review. And Randeep, I mean, this is a game you get 6. You got to win this hockey game. They tied the game up late too, and they got it to overtime. And I get it. 3-on-3 is a crapshoot, and the Canucks had not had luck in the extra frame, losing way more than they've won. But this is what happens when you don't take care of business, when you've had two separate chances to do so with comfortable leads.
Yeah, boys. I think, you know, the overtime, let's not even maybe even get to the overtime, right? You have a 3-0 lead after the first period. You're, I don't want to say you're comfortable because you still have 40 minutes to play, but, you know, that's a lead you can't sit back on. That's a lead that you can't take, you know, for granted. And unfortunately for this team, in that second period, yeah, there's a combination of things. There's a combination of breakdowns. There's a combination of needing a save when you couldn't get it. And, you know, Batch and I were talking as well about that Favreau goal at 3-3. That's the one that kind of that hits you, where if you head into, you know, of course, you know, you get that lead, the 4-3 lead after the Tyler Myers goal, but there's a couple of moments where you're begging for a save, you're begging for a defensive play, and they do fight back. There is resiliency later on in the game, but, you know, it shouldn't really got there because they had that 3-0 lead. So it's no doubt, I think you can be happy if you're a fan to say, hey, they got the point, but really, guys, they should have picked up 2 today the way they started.
Yeah, and some of it's bad luck, right? Like the Jenner goal, that to me is just bad luck. Because it's a shot from the point, goes off a body, goes the other direction. The Favreau goal, again, preventable. It felt like a game from the 90s, Randeep, where it's like goaltending was all over the place without the, you know, lockdown neutral zone play and obstruction. It was essentially a game from the 90s here because it was just launch anything on the net and you don't know what's going to happen thereafter.
Yeah, and that went both ways for both teams, right?
Of course,
when we're
yeah.
talking about for, you know, even some of the goaltending, and Merz Lincolns did not have a great game himself, right? That was, you know, they're targeting his low glove side, something we saw the Canucks do against Sorokin as well. But, you know, it was interesting goaltending. You're right. It was kind of 90s style. I thought I was watching like Kay Whitmore and Mike Fountain in net tonight rather than some of the guys that were in it today. But, you know, you look at that and some of it was unlucky when, of course, that Boone Jenner, that 3-1 goal, it kind of goes off his midsection. There's a redirect there. And you're right. You're kind of flat-footed. If you're the goaltender, it's a change of direction. But there are other moments where even though, you know, you had moments where that Marchenko goal, Forsberg can't play the puck, he misses the puck, and then, you know, they're out there for a long time, and eventually Marchenko gets the puck, you know, in the slot, and there's no minimal coverage, there's just some tired players, and they go low glove on Lankinen. That one goes past him, and then the 3-3 one is the one I look at to say, okay, you know, obviously that's a shot from the point. It didn't look like it had much of a deflection, if at all. And you're probably looking at that one to say, could you do a little bit better? I also think later on in the game, the middle drives that Columbus was attacking that blue paint yeah. with, whether they're looking for rebounds or, you know, in that second period, they realized we got to go for tips, we got to go deflections, rebounds. They really tested the Canucks' interior, their defense in front of the blue paint. And those are battles that, for the most part, Vancouver lost late in this game.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of key battles they lost tonight. And as far as some second guessing, a couple of things to talk about here. One was at the end of the third period, after the Columbus Blue Jackets had initially tied it up at 5-5 at the time, Boone Jenner looks to make a little contact with Kevin Lankinen in the crease. The Canucks won a challenge where Olivier made some slight contact in the crease. The Canucks decide not to challenge that goal because they don't want to give up the penalty if they don't get the challenge. And instead of giving up the penalty, they give up a goal anyways. I kind of thought they should have challenged it. To me, it wasn't too dissimilar from the first goal. There was enough contact there to maybe get that one back. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought that was a 50-50. I think, you know, based on the way it's been called of late, I could have seen that one turn the other way, right? Like, you could see that one going back and it being a 5-4 game still for Vancouver. But, you know, when you start looking at that call, it was one of the 50-50 ones to me to say, you could see it either way, but I'm with you. I think I believe it was the left skate of Jenner, the left skate caught the left skate of Kevin Lankinen, and we've seen much lighter calls, guys, much, you know, more sensitive calls, so to speak, where even if there's a player grazing the goaltender, it's deemed no goal. So I think they had a pretty good chance on that one. It wasn't as clear cut as the Matthew Olivier one, but the way it turns out in hindsight being, you know, what it is, of course, looking back at it, say you challenge it, but generally, you know, Dylan Crawford's done a great job with the Canucks on that. You've seen Rick Tocchet kind of ride with his guys on that one, but I'm with you. I thought, you know, based on the way they've been called, they probably had a shot at that one too.
Yeah, and the other one was the decision to go with Connor Garland in the shootout. Now, he had made one out of two before tonight, and in Arizona, he had made 8 out of 15, but in Vancouver, he's only has the one goal in the shootout, whereas Brock Besser has a better scoring rate in Vancouver, but he hasn't had a shootout attempt under Rick Tocchet as a head coach here in Vancouver. And obviously, Garland doesn't score. I know he had scored the other night, but I just kind of wonder, why not get one of your better shooters into it? And it's curious to me that Tocchet has never gone to Besser when Besser actually has 5 goals in a shootout at 21% finishing, which isn't horrible. It's not great, but I'm just a bit perplexed about that one.
Yeah, I think with Brock Besser, you know, the fact that he's also in a hot streak, right, the way he's been able to pick up those goals, and guys, the individual numbers, Jake DeBrusk has put up great numbers against Merz Lincolns in his career, where picking up 6 goals in 8 games, and Brock Besser's right there, 5 goals in 7 games. So if you're trying to go with who has success against this goaltender, which I think should kind of rule the day, you know, can you beat this goaltender? I think Brock Besser's the one that I look at too. With Connor Garland, you know, both him and Lekkerimäki tried to go 5-hole on both of their goals. I think this shootout was kind of begging for one of those guys to just kind of grip it and rip it. And, you know, Lekkerimäki is more of that profile. So when he tried to go 5-hole on that one, I was a little surprised. But credit to the goaltender, he makes both of those saves. But for just based on form, current, you know, goal scoring streaks and career numbers against Merz Lincolns, I would have expected to see Brock Besser there a little bit more, but Connor Garland gets the opportunity. He's had success in his career. Unfortunately, couldn't make it happen there.
As far as game management goes, any moment to make a goalie change or call a timeout during the flow of the game?
I thought, you know, we did have a bit of a kind of a discussion amongst ourselves here. Is that 3-3 goal maybe when you're starting to feel it? Is that the one that you're essentially saying, all right, the game's kind of going away from you there, and maybe you're not all that impressed with that reaction from Lankinen on that goal by Fabbro? That's probably the moment I'm looking at. I know later on there's other goals that happen too, but in tight, the Jenner goal, Olivier gets basically body position on Quinn Hughes. We saw Lankinen respond after the 3-3 goal with a couple of saves. But if there's a moment, I'm probably thinking in that second period where it looked like, all right, wait a second, Columbus is just grabbing this game, and they're starting to dictate the terms a little bit. If there was going to be a change made, guys, I'd probably look at that point.
Yeah, and you know, as far as what this does for Vancouver, and there are so many things in this game where you would have felt good about. You know, like Kiefer Sherwood had another strong game in his hometown. Atu Ratu, two big goals. DeBrusk, yep, and Besser score. You're getting primary scoring. Scored on the man advantage. So offensively, a lot of positives. Now, Merzlikins wasn't great. I mean, you know, we can talk, you know, be fair about goaltending for both sides. It wasn't great here tonight. But in a night where you had so many offensive contributions and you had guys coming through, to not get the 2 points, it's just so backbreaking. And in a season where the Canucks have given away and coughed away so many points, this almost felt like the backbreaking one to give up. And it's only 1 point, but how many games have we sat here and talked about this year, guys, where it's like it's 1 point here, 2 points there. They just cough up these points, and eventually it hits a critical mass, and tonight may have been the critical mass.
Yeah, it's because you do so much right in that first period where your special teams is going, your PK is going, and for something that we've talked about where, hey, you know, that power play, it's not maybe as confident or the entries are not good. Tonight, they started off perfectly where you get a couple of goals, you're feeling good about yourself, you're attacking off the rush, you get a goal that way. So the opening 20, you know, that's a confident way to go in where rather than, you know, leaning into that and essentially managing the game, it fell apart, guys, and I think that's where you kind of look at it. Yes, the goaltending wasn't good on either side, but there's certain moments in that game where you needed a save, you didn't get it. And listen, I don't know, you know, what's going on with Kevin Lankinen. We don't know if he's 100%, but he got the start, and you have to judge accordingly. And it was far from one of his best games of the season. I think we can all agree on that. But it wasn't only him, right? Now, I look at some of those goals that the Columbus Blue Jackets were allowed to score, and it was they took over the middle of the ice. They took over in and around that blue paint, and they made some, you know, plays, right? You start looking at one of those goals where Cole Sillinger just picks the pocket of Drew O'Connor, extends that shift in the zone, and what happens? A mere seconds later, it's in the back of the net for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And for Vancouver, if you make that play a little bit more decisively, we could be talking about a regulation win. Unfortunately, it goes the other way, and you get 1 point. But, yeah, there's no doubt got to be a bad taste in your mouth. And I think the way that Rick Tocchet, you know, coaches don't like that many goals in any game. They don't see it as entertaining. If you get the 2 points, Dean Evason's happy right now with the result. But even his process, he's going to be not happy with that. Now, if you're on the losing side, you're not going to be happy about the result and the process. So, yeah, it's a challenging thing for Vancouver, but they got to reset here, guys. You got the best team in the Western Conference on the schedule next.
All right, so I want to just like separate what the result means for the playoff chase and all these things, because there is plenty of things to be encouraged about, most notably Atu Ratu. I thought it was fantastic. Like the two goals were great too, but like even the tying goal there at the end, like he does great work in the defensive zone to set this up. He, you know, he was sharp throughout the whole night.
Yeah, he was, and he's showing something here, right? Like, this is a game where, you know, Pius Suter had a difficult time in the faceoff dot. He was 4 of 22, and that's a head-to-head matchup with Sean Monahan. But, you know, Atu Ratu was strong. He was above 50% again. We saw late in the game, when there's just a couple of seconds left, who's out there taking the defensive zone faceoff on the right-hand side? It's Atu Ratu, right? A position of confidence. And then let's talk about the offense. You know, he was able to score a couple of goals. I like the fact that, especially his combination play with, you know, Kiefer Sherwood, who draws a penalty, on that play, but it doesn't get to that point. Dakota Joshua head up, attacking the middle of the ice, and Ratu's got the offensive sense to say, I know where I need to be right now. This guy's potentially going to make a play, stick on the ice, get on the right side of, you know, basically the player and find that soft area and tap it home. So I thought his overall game was strong. It's unfortunate in a 12-goal game, you're not going to focus on two-way game for a lot of players, but Atu Ratu continues to show something, and this is big for him, right? The rest of the way here as well, but, you know, if you're the management team watching this kid, A, play and score, he's sending a message right now. Obviously, there's going to be things he needs to improve in the offseason. I think skating can get a little bit better, but, you know, once you have a little bit of production as well, you're chipping in, you're playing with other players, and you're finding chemistry, it certainly sends a message across the organization and especially to the management team.
It certainly does, and we'll see what happens from this point on. Canucks have a big game against the Jets, and the must wins continue. A tough loss here tonight in Columbus against the Blue Jackets, but great stuff as always, Randeep, and we'll chat with you on Sunday. Pre-game is going at 11 a.m.
All right, an early one. Take care, guys.
You got it. That is Randeep Janda and your game review. Need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet the 2025 Honda CR-V Sport with rates from 2.49%. Visit bchonda.ca. Canucks, a real tough one here tonight. We have a lot of reaction on the text inbox, 650-650. And I think it's one of those games, Vic, you have like a lot of different emotions. Like, you kind of went through every single emotion in this game. Ames just sums it up by saying this has been the worst year ever with how, you know, things have gone. But this was one of those games where they did a lot of good things. There was a lot of things that you enjoyed, but they had a lot of mistakes. Now, at the same time, you know the injuries they've had, you know all these things, and excuses can be excuses, but like it doesn't matter. Like, the damage inflicted by a loss is the damage inflicted. So you can feel good about what they did or feel good about the efforts and be happy with how they're battling. All those things are true, but it's still a dagger through the heart losing the game. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Big Daddy and Groves, like, I like your show, but you guys are too critical. I mean, they have all these injuries. Sure, but the stakes are the stakes and the outcome's the outcome. And the outcome is you blew a 3-goal lead and a 2-goal lead and you lost a point that is going to be very difficult to make up when you have 9 games remaining on the season. And you're still 4 points back of the Blues with 1 game in hand.
If this game is played in December, totally different tone. But the result does not live in a vacuum. And so you live in this situation where this is game 73 tonight. You're now 4 back of St. Louis with the game in hand, but you don't even have the tiebreaker. So you're playing from behind in a big way. And so the result plays into the current situation. And the thing is like, there's plenty encouraging things to talk about, even if you're dispirited by the result, just because it was a fun game. And yeah, they had some bad luck. They also had some good luck, because Elvis Merzlikins wasn't very good either, and some of those goals shouldn't go in. But you play it both ways, and it had everything in this game.
Yeah, and but, like this one says, so frustrating. Should have been a 4-1 Canucks win. Good teams close this one out.
Yeah. And this year, they've shown that they're not a great team. This isn't last year's team that were so dominant with a lead. This year, it has been topsy-turvy all year long, and you felt the entire season in one game tonight.
Yeah, that's really what it was. It was like a microcosm of the season in one singular game, right? Hope, fun, excitement sometimes, also real dejection.
This text from Terry. From Qualcomm. All my years of watching hockey, that's one of the craziest games I've seen. Had almost everything by encompassing the game itself. A minor, double minor, shorthanded goal, power play goal, multiple goals within 30 seconds of each other, a challenge, successful challenge, blown leads, 13 goals, shootout. Yeah, at the same time, it's hard to watch. Just a brutal display.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I hear you.
It was one for the neutrals, as they say.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. This one says no moral victories at this point. I'm with you. Like, you're kind of past the moral victory stage. There are positives you can take it the next season. There are positives about player development, no doubt. But as far as the season goes, we're well past the moral victory stage. Let's take one phone call before we hit the break. Let's go to New Brunswick, where Yandon is on the line. Yandon, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. How about you?
Doing well. Yeah, I mean, what a interesting game. I mean, I feel like, you know, this team is nowhere near it was how they were last season. Obviously, a lot of missing pieces. And I mean, you know, if we all make the playoffs, this game as well as the New York game were just two games that, you know, I mean, your score, you're shooting what, like 39 shots and you're scoring 6 goals. I mean, those should be wins, right?
Yeah, I'm with you about that 100%. Thanks for the phone call, Yannon. Appreciate your thoughts and the frustration. And yeah, I mean, that's 3 points, the Rangers game in this game. You win that game, you get this one here. 3 extra points in the standings. You're sitting at 84 with a game in hand on the Blues. You win the game in hand, you'd be above.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
It's very fine margin, and you need every point right now.
Now
that's why
honestly,
it matters.
And it's not just tonight, because you go back to the first game of the season, 3-goal lead against Calgary, losing overtime, right? How many games this year have they coughed up a lead in the third period or haven't got the extra point in overtime? It's like paper cuts, and they've just been accumulating, and tonight may have been the last one, but we'll see. Still 9 games to go. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. More of your reaction, we'll hear from the Canucks head coach, and a lot more on the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More next on Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and don't miss an episode. This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's the youngster Jonathan Lekkermäki. He won it against the Devils. He needs to score to keep this one alive. And he's wide onto the right wing. Lekkermäki in on Merzlikins to the slot, to the forehand. He's stopped, and the game is over. The Blue Jackets come from behind after trailing 5-3 in the third period. And they beat the Canucks in a wild affair at Nationwide Arena, 7-6 in the shootout.
This game had a little bit of everything as Lekkermäki tried to go 5-0 here. And an excellent job on the last two shots by Columbus's goaltender, Merzlikins, to close the 5-hole. In that situation, you expect to see Lekkermäki kind of wind up like he did against the New Jersey Devils and try to go for that shot. But credit to the Columbus goaltender. And for Vancouver, of course, you're happy to pick up the 1 point. You battle back in this game. You show some resiliency. But that 3-0 lead is going to stick in the back of their minds, where after 20 minutes, it looked like they had this game under control. And yet they leave Columbus with only 1 point.
Canucks can't take the 2 points tonight. A 7-6 shootout loss in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. A 3-goal lead, then a 2-goal lead, and ultimately a loss. And this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satya Shaw with Bick Nazar. We have a lot to get to. We are going to get to the head coach coming up in a moment. So much reaction on the text inbox, Bick, 650, 650. A lot of second guessing in the game here tonight. This one here simply asks David the City Worker, would you guys have pulled Lankinen? Given that Demko dressed and was the backup, I would have put Demko in the third.
With the late goal and up 4-3?
No, I'm saying like after they scored the fifth goal.
Oh, okay.
Like after, you know.
At 5-5.
At 5-5, I would have just, at that point, I'm like, you got to get this guy out.
Yeah, I think the two moments would have been 3-3
and
5-5.
They got bailed out with the goal that got called back on the challenge.
Yes.
And then when he gives up the other one, that's for me, I was like, I'm done. I'm like, this guy can't stop it tonight. And as soon as we got to the shootout, I was like, they're not going to win. Like, I turned to you. I just didn't have confidence in Lankinen. He looked cooked at that point. Like, he made a couple good saves early. But once that 5-5 goal went in, like, he was done.
To be fair, I mean, like, Merzlikins also looked cooked.
Put the uncooked guy in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the moments would have been 3-3 and 5-5.
Yeah.
Would have been the two moments.
That's where I'm at. So I think you're that late into the game. We talked about this, that now that you have 3 goalies and Shelov's being the third goalie right now, if you don't want to play the other guy, just rest them. Just don't dress. Have Shelov's be the backup. I know you brought up the point of like if an injury happens early, you can't have your season hinge
sure,
on whatever, right?
Once he's dressed.
He's dressed. And you're also in the latter parts of the game in a must-win game. Yeah, I think it's totally fair to ask, should he have put Demko? Like, he had him dressed. Demko was dressed tonight.
5-5 is probably the one, because at least at 3-3, you can say, okay, well, one goes weirdly off of Boone Jenner. That's just like a bad luck goal.
But also just like, so he didn't challenge the 5-5 goal either, right? So you don't challenge the goal that that Jenner scores. You don't call the timeout, and you don't change the goalie. And then what happens seconds later?
Olivier ends up scoring.
I'm not saying it's a coach's fault, but he did nothing at that point.
But he's in control of that decision.
Yeah, and he could have made a decision at that point. And listen, I'm a, you know, we like a lot of things Tocchet has done, but I think in that moment, and it's easier in hindsight.
Well,
but you had to do at that point 5-5 again when you won that challenge. That should have been like the we got away with this, right? Lankanen should have had confidence, and
especially,
there wasn't.
I don't know if we'll have time to go through all these moments here today with the show and how late this game went. There is nary a player in the right spot doing anything helpful on that Olivier goal, the one that gets called back.
Okay, and
like, they multiple opportunities to move the puck out. Myers and Marcus Pedersen, the levels of indecisiveness by both of them on this play, shocking. For like, this is what those guys are supposed to do: win in the defensive zone, and they both have struggling moments, and all of that gets washed away because Olivier goes into Lankanen. And so, yeah, you're right. You get that, whew, all right, we got away with one. Because you got away with not just one mistake. There's like six mistakes in the offensive zone. No one's making a productive play. And now you're on caution. And it didn't raise the level of alertness and have to go 5-5.
Yeah, that and then not challenging the fifth goal. Like, Jenner hits him, and I get it. Like, they felt like, hey, they got a close call, and you're playing the percentages. I don't know. As soon as I saw Jenner hit him, like, he makes contact, and then the puck goes in off of him.
The other one, immediately, we were like, oh, you got to challenge that. That one's getting called back right away. So I didn't really notice it at first on the second one, but, yeah, like, when you get that overhead look, like, he definitely makes connection with the skate before the puck gets there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if the puck is already beyond Lankanen when Jenner makes contact.
And if you don't have confidence that you're going to kill the penalty, and if you're a bit worried about your goalie, and the players are making mistakes, looking out of position, trying to do too much, are they a bit worried about goaltending? Just make the goalie change.
Yeah.
Just I don't know. That, to me, like, I think, you know, I'm just not a big fan of that.
We say things of like, oh, in hindsight, but, you know, when you are the holder of the decisions, you're meant to be making these big decisions in this one. It's hindsight for us to say after the result, but, you know, times, and it's one of the frustrations that comes up a lot from fans about Rick Tocchet, you know, timeout usage and goaltender usage and moments to make those decisions. And he usually just lets the players sort it out themselves. But tonight was definitely a moment where he can influence that moment at 5-5.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And didn't quite happen. And if
it was one thing, like, oh, okay, we've given up three goals in the first period and we're making the change and Demko's got to play 48 minutes.
You're talking the final 10 minutes.
We're talking, I mean, less than that. When was the fifth goal scored? 16:46.
Yeah, and at the very least, like, maybe calms everybody down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they're so out of position on everything you're talking about, right? Like, bring a little bit of stability in and do something. I didn't like that passivity from that standpoint. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, and we'll get to them as the show goes on. This one simply says, from Curtin to George, Demko is elite. Yes, he is elite. Would have been nice to see him perhaps in the third period. All right, but let's get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Here is Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town.
Well, Rick, obviously we knew this one wasn't going to be an easy one with what's on the line, but just take us through your thoughts on the performance.
Yeah, a lot of turns here and there, a lot of peaks and valleys. Like I said, I think the guys gave it all. I think we need there's some battle areas. I think we got to win those battles. We had two guys on one guy and he came out of the corner. Those are the things we got to clean up. But overall, I thought the fight, obviously getting that goal to tie it up. So the fight was there.
Do you look at it then as a kind of a point gain or that 5-3 lead in the third kind of?
Yeah, I mean, listen, 5-3, a couple of mistakes. You know, you lose in battles. We back up in the neutral zone, we take a penalty. Where, you know, when pressure hits, you got to face it. I think sometimes we're sinking, but it's a learning lesson. You know, that's why we're learning. You know, we got some young guys in. I think they're trying hard, but this is a good lesson for them. And there's certain points of the game. We talked about moments where, you know, you got to squash these plays in the corner. Sometimes they come out of the corner too easy, but that's stuff that we got to keep pounding on and then keep learning from.
Tough spot for Lankanen and a few times, but there were some bad bounces too that kind of won against them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got to look at some of the goals. Yeah, I'm sure he had wanted a couple back, but what are you going to do? And we scored six goals and we just couldn't get it done.
On the other side of that, a couple of power play goals. What were your thoughts on the power play?
Yeah, tonight? It was good. I thought we talked about low plays at the net and it worked. So, you know, hopefully you can build off that.
What have you seen from Ratu in these last couple of games?
Yeah, starting to get some ice time. You know, obviously another big goal for us. So hopefully we can build off it.
That is Rick talking at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town. Proudly Canadian-owned and operated since 1971. Visit any of their three locations and talk to their in-house design consultants or visit them online at mytiletown.ca. So the Canucks head coach, pretty short and sweet, talked about winning some battles, liked some of the fight, but talked about making a lot of mistakes. When the pressure hits, have to face it, didn't squash a lot of plays in the corner. And, you know, talking about Lankinen, didn't get into any specifics, said he had to look at some of the goals, but sure, he'd like to have a couple back, and then kind of cited, like, well, we had six goals tonight and couldn't win, which essentially is saying you got to have a couple of those.
Yeah, and Lotso was texting in. It's questionable whether Demko is healthy enough to come in cold. Seems to have been stretched out and his equipment all adjusted. It's like, okay.
For sure, but if that's the case, then don't back him up. Have Shelov's back up.
Don't be in the lineup. But also, you know.
That's my point. Like, if I was all for Demko not playing, like completely resting. But if you're not, like, then why have him in the lineup? Shelov's is there.
It's the same thing we've talked about with Elias Pettersson and, like, oh, is he healthy enough? If you're in the lineup, there's an expectation you're able to perform.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, hey, listen, we don't know all the factors. Let's say, for instance, if Shelov's was feeling ill, the flu's been going through, perhaps. Like, nobody asked.
I would say.
You know what I mean? There's always the, you know, there could be a disclaimer that something else that we don't know could be going on.
Sure. I would also say the same about Kevin Lankinen too, right? It's not as if he's been perfectly healthy here recently either, as they were doing this goalie rotation of Shelov being the backup so the other guy could rest too. So it's a tough spot for him as well in this moment. But yeah, that's not a huge ringing endorsement there in that spot. But we sit here and we say, like, yeah, they scored six goals.
Yeah, no, I know for sure. And, you know, Tyler says, what if he comes out and he pulls a groin for 4 minutes? Again, then don't back him up. If you're that worried about him, don't back him up. Have Shelov's be the
backup. What if Lankinen gets hurt and there's 4 minutes to go? Right? If you're in the lineup, you might have to play.
Yeah.
You always have to prepare for that moment. If your name goes in the lineup card, there's a chance you're going to play. Simple as that.
Yeah. Let's take one phone call before we hit the break. Let's go to Montreal, where we have James on the line. James, thanks for calling in, bud. What are your thoughts here tonight after a 7-6 shootout loss in Columbus?
Good evening. Interesting game. I agree with you on many counts. I think it was the most entertaining game you'd probably see since December. I'd say, well, it was a wild one, and I'd go to bed with a smile. 1 point, whatever. After listening to Rick Tockett, I didn't expect anything less from him. Making the excuses, we have a lot to learn. What do you mean a lot to learn? There's 9 games left. How do you teach in 9 games? You know, this falls on Rick. I'm sorry. Maybe you don't agree. It sounds like you do, actually. Not starting Besser, not pulling Lankinen. That challenge should have been, that would have been 2 for 2 on the challenge. In my opinion, that second goal was more interference than the first one. Just bad coaching. I think Rick Tockett's days are numbered. People, fans are worried about Besser being signed. I think the Canucks management has to look into Rick Tockett. 3 huge mistakes tonight. Besser, the shootout, and then, you know, like, not pulling the goaler. It makes no sense. Get your opinion on it. You guys are the pros. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Now, we'll hit some of that on the other side. You've
touched on some of it on the Besser shootout one earlier as well. Is that a guy that should be going out there as well?
Yeah, I thought, like I mentioned, so Garland in Arizona scored 8 goals on 15 attempts in a shootout. So I'm sure Tockett saw him have a lot of success. In Vancouver, he has 1 goal, and that goal was this season in the shootout. Other ones, he's all missed. Now, Besser hasn't taken a single shootout attempt under Rick Tockett. And for his career, he scored 5 times in a shootout at 21%. You know. Besser's been hot. I know Garland scored recently.
Yeah.
It's a little curious that the guy who's been decent at shootouts haven't had an attempt under this head coach, right? And he's been hot lately. And maybe it's unfair, like Gary Maple Ridge says, stop being Monday morning quarterback. Sure, it's easy in hindsight to say things, right? But, you know, I turn to you all watching this going like, why not go Besser? Why Garland? So it's not after the fact, it was during the fact. Maybe we should start streaming our reactions during the game.
I don't know if
we'll leave it at that. All right, we'll get to more of your text messages, more of your thoughts on the other side. We'll hear from Canuck players. Hopefully we get iMac as well on the Canuck Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Under 3 minutes left to play. It's Columbus 6 and Vancouver 5, and Marchenko dumps it behind the Canuck net. He's after it near boards, but Aturatu clears it ahead, and here's Dakota Joshua. Passing left wing for Kiefer Sherwood into the Blue Jackets zone. Hauled down by Favreau. It's going to be a Columbus penalty. Joshua driving the net. Center front. Ratu scores. Aturatu on the delayed call. Beats Elvis Merzlikins. His second of the third period. And it's 6-6. The Canucks answer right back with 2:29 left.
Batch, this game is drunk. 12 goals. And Vancouver gets their sixth goal to Aturatu. His second of the game. A good job by Kiefer Sherwood skating through the left side of the ice along the wall. Draws a penalty as Favreau dives in, trips him, but the Canucks keep on playing. An excellent play by Dakota Joshua to set up Aturatu. Drives towards the net and makes a nice pass through the legs of Werenski, excuse me. And Aturatu ties this game up.
Should have been talking about what a magnificent Aturatu performance. Two goals tonight. Had one against his former team, the team that drafted him in the second round, the New York Islanders. And instead, we're talking about a 7-6 shootout loss. But Aturatu, what a performance. And steps up big, not only in the faceoff circle, but in the bottom line. Two big goals for the Canucks. And the reason they ended up getting a point in the game here tonight. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Canucks lose 7-6 in a shootout. A lot of reaction, Bic, on the text inbox, 650-650. We'll go to the phone boards coming up here in a moment, but let's get some of these texts in. A lot of reaction, a lot of frustration after a game like this. And this text message here says, excluding Rotti, the rest of the team got killed in faceoffs, 40-16. Just too many times losing control of the play. That's Chuck and Langley texting in. And he was stellar in a faceoff circle yet again for the Canucks, but he was the exception in the circle for Vancouver tonight.
Yeah, Teddy Bluger was 39% on 23 total faceoffs. Pew Suter, 18% on 22 faceoffs. And then there's Ratu, 53% on 15 faceoffs. He got one in overtime late as well. And yeah, it's been very impressive to see what he's done. He was 50% in the defensive zone as well. Strong night for him all across. We mentioned him the other day because it feels like he does all these little things well. We say little things, but like he knows how to play the game.
Yeah, he isn't an intelligent player.
Genuinely, the only question I really have is skating. And he's got a decent shot. He's proven and shown that with some goals in the Islanders and some goals here in Vancouver that you see flashes of. If he gets a moment, he can shoot that one. Obviously, tonight beats Merzlikins. But an intelligent player, like his second goal, he does all this work in the defensive zone to get the puck out of the zone. And you see the tenacity. He's a good body as well. He can lean on players. He's very intelligent. Like, he takes great angles on the ice. It's just, if that speed is there, and we're not even talking about like, oh, go be Connor McDavid.
No, it's just, honestly, it's literally just a little bit more out of it first couple steps. That's
and
it.
Like, it can jump for him so quickly. He's probably playing, at the very least, as like a strong fourth line center right now. And you can see the growth, like when you're producing, all right, now you can start jumping up the lineup a little bit and start projecting what a role might look like down the future here too.
So tonight at even strength, I mean, he only played even strength tonight. He didn't get on the PK or anything. 12:27, all his minutes coming at even strength. And that is the almost the same time as Teddy Bluger got. Teddy Bluger had 12:46, obviously had more shifts on the PK. And that's why he ends up playing 15 and change, whereas Ratu was in the 12 and a half range. But tonight, he was very much like the middle six center, so to speak. It was him and Bluger being the next guys up after Suter and essentially played the same amount of time 5-on-5. And I know the minutes don't look big, but if you add a little bit of special teams time, that's like 15 minutes, and you're like, okay, this guy, you know, played a significant amount of, you know, hockey tonight. And if you're getting over 12 minutes of even strength time, like, that's That's significant.
And this is how internal competition starts to look, right? Yeah. You're going to get these chances at the end of the season to look back at this and say, all right, this guy, like, this is how he finished the year. And I know there was a comment that a lot of people are perturbed by from Rick Tocchet there about these learning lessons. Mm-hmm. For me, like, my interpretation of that is very much about the kids and how do they use these moments to build upon it for future seasons. If you're taking within the context of, hey, there's only 9 games left, like, I totally get the frustrations by that. But this is, like, that to me was far more about the Raw 2s, the Lekkermäkis, the Carlsons, Omans, DPD, how they are learning in these moments.
Yeah. And I think that's what he meant as well, just to be fair about that, too. Somebody also texted in and said, in fairness, Rick Tocchet went with the guys, David is a city worker. If we want to be fair, talk with him, with the guys who scored in the past couple shootouts, Calgary and New Jersey games. So those are the guys he went with. In fairness, again, like, mm-hmm. we know we disagreed, but all facts only. People bringing up the facts to make sure that all those sides are being shared, so to speak. Is there something else you want to get in?
Yeah, T-Mac texting in 650. Guys, I love the game. Heart pounding. The issue I had was when the puck was in the Canucks' end, when our players were on the boards, they had the puck but would try to force the puck out of the zone. They had the option to pass it back to the open guy, reset to get out of the zone. In summary, they were scrambling in their own zone. What a game, though. That is from T-Mac. It's what led to the Besser goal.
Yeah.
Exactly what T-Mac is talking about, because they get the puck up the wall and the pass comes back to Quinn Hughes, who's now got speed to come up through the zone. Through the neutral zone, he makes that drop pass, and Besser puts them up 2-0 at that stage. And then you hear Rick Tocchet in the postgame comments talking about losing battles in the corner, and they frequently lost that diagonal pass from the wall, from the corner, to the far D-man. That's where Fabro's goals come from. That's where the Olivier goal comes from. Diagonal pass to Fabro, who takes that slap pass into Olivier. And it happened quite often, just looking for that weak side defender who wasn't even creeping in deep. It was just hit that guy furthest away from where the play currently was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you on that, too. It's a good observation. Let's take one phone call here before we hit the break, and let's go to East Van, where we have Sean on the line. Sean, thanks for calling in, pal. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Oh, hey. I'm not sure I learned from this game, because it is such an emotional roller coaster watching them. And I wanted to mention about Tocchet. I think he kept his comments short tonight because he was calling Daniel Briere, returning his call, because his team is so frustrating to coach. I think it must be so frustrating. And, you know, I don't agree with everything. I think I would have put Demko in as well. It just changes the tempo. It changes. Like, look at the Islanders game. When we ran Sorokin out and they put Hogberg in, I think we only got an open empty net on him. I think he should have put Demko in. But it's a hard team to coach. He says the coaches don't like these kind of games. So I got to give him that. And the only big reason I want Tocchet to stay is one reason, because Quinn Hughes really likes him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You're kind of cutting out there at the end, maybe a bit farther from the mic. But to that point, listen, we can critique Rick. And, you know, we've critiqued tonight some decisions or indecisions, so to speak. But if the plan, and it is the plan, to keep Quinn Hughes long term, one of the best things you can do is keep the coach he loves. And a coach that's getting buy-in from his team, right? And I think he won the Jack Adams last year, if I'm mistaken, right?
You are correct about that.
He did, okay,
yeah,
right.
Facts
so,
only.
Okay. So he's clearly an established coach, too. Like, I'm bringing him back. And especially for Quinn Hughes. Quinn wants them back. You want to keep Quinn here long term?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right? Would you not want to keep the guy that he says is the best coach he's ever had?
I think one of the things that's happened here in the swell that's happened in the last 6 weeks about the Rick Tocchet conversation.
The anti-Tocchet sentiment?
Yeah, but I think it's like, look, it is a frustrating season. And fans are going to fan. And when you're mad, you know, the reasons people get frustrated, it's need and blame. And this team was, like, the expectation was go to the playoffs this year. And that sentiment hasn't changed from Patrick Alvin, despite trading JT Miller and all the injuries. It's, like, still want to go win and keep building and all these things. So when you aren't on track to go to the playoffs and you need that, who are you going to blame? And the finger pointing is natural. And I think a lot of the people that are frustrated right now are just saying, oh, I got to point this finger somewhere. So it's always easy to go at the coach. Yeah. And we'll point it at the coach. And again, I don't even want to use injuries as an excuse. It's just the reality of the situation. It's like a lot of weird, odd, bad things have happened this year. And does Rick Tocchet share some of the blame? Yeah, but I think the piece of that pie is like so much smaller than is fair. Like the players' performance this year hasn't been anywhere near good enough. The plan put forth in the offseason didn't really get executed to its highest potential from management. That they share a huge piece of the pie. For me, like the Rick Tocchet slice is much, much smaller than the other residing factors.
Yeah, and again, I think it's fair to critique. I think it's fair to talk about things and all that. But I thought, you know, the great point by Sean. If the plan is to keep Quinn, keeping the coach that he wants them to keep, might be a good place to start. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. We'll take more of your phone calls. If we get a chance, we'll hear from iMac and a lot more on the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and postgame on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And still all to play for between these two teams, both desperately chasing a playoff spot in their respective conferences. Puck deep in the Vancouver zone to our right. Far circle. Danforth gets it free to the line. LaShawn rebound, they score! Favreau got it through from the line. It bounced right to Matthew Olivier, who beats Kevin Lankinen, and it's 6-5 Columbus with 2:52 left in the third.
A 1-2 punch by the Columbus Blue Jackets. First a goal by Boone Jenner in here. Two Canucks get caught along the boards, battling, and Matthew Olivier just waiting in the middle of the ice, and as the puck goes to the point, he drives the middle of the ice against Quinn Hughes, a mismatch in size. As the puck goes through, it hits Olivier's left skate onto his stick, and then he directs it home to make this 6-5 for Columbus in a wild turn of events here as Vancouver needs a goal now. They need to get back in this game.
Canucks get in the game, get out the game, had the game, didn't have the game. Lose the game, 7-6 in a shootout in Columbus against the Blue Jackets, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Keep getting your thoughts into our text inbox, 650-650. A lot of reaction on the text inbox, and I know there are a lot of people that have been criticizing the head coach. It happens quite a bit. We talked about that quite a bit as well. Now, Marty Nanaimo says, being critical of certain decisions is totally fine, but if you want to judge the job Tocchet is doing overall, you have to look at the effort and results he's getting out of his team right now. These guys are still competing hard and in the game. That doesn't happen for a bad coach. That's Marty in Nanaimo.
Buy-in is a huge thing, right? We talked about that a lot last year. And to me, like, that's the number one job of a head coach. Get that domino first. You can have a bad plan, but if you have buy-in, you can execute the plan. If you think you're the smartest guy in the room, but you can't convince 23 guys to do it for you, your plan's going to suck.
Yeah.
So this recent stretch here, something I was talking about on the show yesterday, this recent stretch is a nice endorsement from the players that, hey, they are competing. They are giving everything that they have. It helps that there's a ton of adrenaline running through a bunch of young players that are just giving everything they have right now because they're playing the NHL, and what an opportunity to be in the playoff race. But you certainly can't deny that there's a certain push here going on this road trip. And so that's a credit to the players for pushing as hard as they are right now. But that's a big check for the coach.
Yeah, it is, right? And I think that's a big part of it. And as far as tonight's game goes, you know, whether you want to put it on the coach or not, and Torgi says, I don't care who's in the lineup, you can't blow a 3-goal lead. How many of these games have we lost a point in? And not only did they blow a 3-goal lead, they blew a 2-goal lead later as well. So multiple, they lost two multi-goal leads in this game tonight. That's tough to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
Anything else you want to get in the text inbox here? Because we're going to try to do something very ambitious before we get iMac on.
Let's just lean into the ambition.
Okay, let's do it. All right, so we usually break down the goals. We're going to do a quick breakdown of the goals here tonight. The Canucks actually in this game took the 1-0 lead.
Mad Max Fury Road style.
Yeah, yeah, took the 1-0 lead. Linus Karlsson scored, Bick. It was on the power play. And you know what the Canucks did on this? They activated the Ferris wheel to create a good opportunity.
Yeah, the four guys rotating. Karlsson goes to the front of the net, and they passed against the rotation. The rotation's going counterclockwise. They pass clockwise, and it's timed up perfectly the way from Karlsson from the boards, cuts into the net, and the pass goes around to Hughes, Garland, Sherwood, right in front to Karlsson as he arrives, and it's 1-0.
And Karlsson had a good game tonight. He worked really well in front of the net, as you saw, scoring the goal, won a lot of battles and behind the boards, creating some scoring chances. Very active game from Linus Karlsson. Then Brock Besser made it 2-0 after Quinn Hughes dropped a puck off to Besser, who had to, you know, take a beat to realize how much time and space he had, and then creeps downhill and just rips one past the Merzlikins.
Suter Hronek deserves some credit in the defensive board as well, because they squash that cycle. Puck comes loose, and Hughes does a give and go, and activates, and away they go for Brock Besser's 24th on the season.
And the Canucks power play comes up big yet again. Jake DeBrusk scores the second power play goal in the frame, and the Canucks take a 3-0 lead on this one.
More rotations. Besser from the top of the point comes into the bumper, swings out wide to the other circle this time, and they play a two-man game with Suter, and then he gets a good shot off, and DeBrusk there to deposit the rebound.
Yeah, a good job from Jake DeBrusk in front of the net. That's where he's had a lot of success on the power play. Canucks, a 3-0 lead in cool, calm. They're going to win this hockey game, right?
Then the cannon went off.
Yeah, 34 seconds into the second period, Boone Jenner, man, he had some good luck tonight. He went to the net, and the puck bounced off him, literally on both goals.
Yeah, it's just a rim around on an entry, basically, by Fantilli. D to D at the point. Matejczuk shoots it and goes off Jenner and in.
Yeah, a pretty simple one. Can't really blame Lankinen on that one. I mean, just tips off him in front of the net. Tough for any goalie to stop. Then Kirill Marchenko, however, makes it 3-2 4 minutes later. And this one, I want to see Lankinen not look as small in his goal, and also push out and not be so deep in his net, because if he pushes out a little bit and closes that angle, maybe Marchenko doesn't find the far side.
Yeah, it comes off an icing too, so all five Canucks had been out in the ice for at least a minute, the low one being DeBrusk at a minute 7, the high one being Garland minute 49, Forbert and DPD minute 32, and Suter minute 9 as well. But yeah, it's Monahan coming from behind the net, uncontested too, kind of just has time to pick a head up and find Marchenko, who gets a shot off, and there's no screen. Like, he's got to come across some bodies, yeah, but there's no screen on the shooter. But as you said, he comes flat along the line rather than pushing out to challenge the shooter. It just opens plenty of space there over the glove.
Yeah, and that was a 2-2 goal. And then Dante Fabbro, 4 minutes later, makes it 3-3 when his point shot finds the back of the net. Now, on this one, Bick, there is a bit more traffic in front of Kevin Lankinen.
Yeah, Danforth screening with the defender there, and he looks over the inside shoulder, and the shot goes on the near side post, so he's kind of looking on the wrong side of the screen. The thing is, we always prefer to look on the inside, so you cover more of the net. It just, is he placed correctly in this spot? Where are his feet in this crease? Is that the optimal spot? The thing I did wonder about this goal, though, too, it's a defensive zone faceoff win.
Yeah.
And it looked like a set play, because Sherwood kind of punches straight out of the zone, and Joshua peels to that near board, but then he comes off of it as well. And Forbert, without looking, just goes up the wall, I think assuming someone's going to be there. And Joshua recovers, but now it's a battle rather than an easy chip out. And the Blue Jackets able to keep it in.
But those things do happen after icing sometimes. Yeah. Like fatigue, you make a mistake, or you get a little bit loose in your positioning, and next thing you know, you're spending time in your own zone, and the puck somehow finds a way to get into the back of the net. Now, about 3 minutes later, less than 3 minutes later, Tyler Myers with some deft touch with an incredible backhander on the penalty kill, and Kiefer Sherwood and Pugh Suter deserve some credit for how this all unfolds. But what a finish from Tyler Myers.
Excellent. I believe the 20th shorthanded goal by a D-man this year. And Suter does plenty of work, pressuring Rurenski to get the puck out of the zone, gets it past him. Sherwood hustles to get onto it and just kind of scoops this pass onto a plate for Myers to come onto. A swiping backhand just lifts the puck up and over Merzlikin's pad and slides it in.
Yeah, so the game ends up being tied. at that point. No, but Myers gives the team the lead 4-3. And going into the third period, you felt good again. All right, the Canucks regain the lead. They have their composure back again. The first 5-6 minutes go off without much happening in the third. And then Atu Ratu would look to be the insurance goal pick. 5-3 lead for the Canucks. Nice play from Dakota Joshua. Ratu deposits the puck. Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah. Again, we'll talk about it. You know, Quinn Hughes does a great job on this play because he takes a defensive rebound and navigates under a pressure and pushes the puck up the wall. Joshua lifts the stick of Voronkov, gets it to Ratu with speed, and his shot just beats Merzlikins.
Yeah, and then about, 21 seconds later, Denton Matejchuk one-times the puck past Kevin Lankinen to bring the Blue Jackets back within one goal again, 5-4.
I almost said Preds myself a minute ago, too. I don't know why. Yeah. puck goes low. Just pass below the line. Boone Jenner, a low to high pass. Yeah, I think this is one Lankinen should have, too. I get it's a low to high pass, but it's just a one-timer on the near side.
83 miles an hour. It's pretty hard, but it's not like a unstoppable shot, so to speak, right?
It'd be one thing if the shot was far side, too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a diagonal. It's a low to high, and it's coming on that short side.
And then the 5-5 goal. Well, first there was a goal that was called back. Mm-hmm. We talked about that before. The Canucks challenged it. Matthew Olivier getting his skate on Lankinen's pad nullifies the goal. But then Boone Jenner gets another good bounce. We talked about this one. He's in the crease, makes slight contact. Could they have challenged or not? But nonetheless, the power play wasn't working for Columbus, but then all of a sudden it was working for Columbus.
Yeah, it's a face-off win, and just a Marchenko shot, and it bounces off. It hits Myers' stick and bounces down and just continues to bounce towards the net, goes off Jenner in front of the net. A challengeable moment as well here for Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, I decide not to, and then literally how long afterwards? So it was, 22 seconds after they had tied the game at 5. Matthew Olivier, I guess he gets the goal back. And this one, I didn't love the way Quinn played this either. I think Quinn, somebody texted into that it wasn't his best game. He did a lot of good things offensively, defensively, some tough moments. And you can tell he's not 100%. And I thought overall on this play, the Canucks did not defend it well enough.
Yeah, and it's exactly what Rick Tocchet was talking about. Just losing pucks in the corner. They lose a battle and diagonal feed over to Fabreau, as we were discussing earlier. And, clever play here, too, for Fabreau to hit Olivier going to the net. And he gets a couple of chances at it. And 6-5 lead.
Yeah, 6-5 lead. But the Canucks do tie it up. Atu Ratu, his second goal of the game, his third goal in two games. And just some more good work from Dakota Joshua on this play. And two Ratu goals, both of them Dakota Joshua playing a big part. And Kiefer Sherwood picks up yet another assist in this hockey game.
His third assist of the game. So a massive game for the hometown product in Columbus. But yeah, Ratu is pressuring the puck in the defensive zone twice, below the goal line, at the top of the zone. Joshua gets his puck up to Sherwood, who draws a penalty on it and takes the puck back to Joshua, who handles this pretty well, skating into traffic and then finds Ratu at plenty of time, take the touch, and sweeping shot puts it in.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So now that brings us to the shootout, of course, and the Canucks end up losing. But now it brings us to the three stars of this hockey game, Bick. And a lot to choose from here, and the three stars, as always, brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor. Shop Angry Otter Liquor's three stars, beer, wine, and spirits. Now, we haven't talked about this. We're just going to do this cold here. The third star game tonight is...
Should we go Pew Suter? Three assists?
I say Kiefer Sherwood.
Oh, I was going to save him.
You're going to save him? Okay. All right. All right. The Canucks lost, but get both two stars?
Yeah, why not?
All right, sure, why not? Who cares? We're, it's our show.
Yeah.
We choose whatever we want to do. Pew Suter plays 24 minutes and 20 seconds tonight. Picks up three assists this evening. First line center for the team. He is tonight's third star. The second star is?
Kiefer Sherwood.
Kiefer Sherwood had three assists tonight, too. Six shots on goal. Another 10 hits on the evening. Has like 4,500 hits on the campaign so far. Hometown kid, big performance. Even won a faceoff tonight. Even took a faceoff, blocked a shot, filled up the stat sheet for the Vancouver Canucks. And the first star of the game is?
Boone Jenner.
Two goals. Hey, listen, they bounced off
of him. And an assist.
And an assist, 3 points. Ends up winning the hockey game for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And those are your three stars brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor.
You know, Fabro had 3 points as well.
Yeah, a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
A lot to choose from here tonight.
Our bad, Dante.
We did what we had to do, you know.
Eddie was just like, I lose my Tri-Cities card after that one.
Yeah, you might. James and Vic says, I'm most mad about wasting all those sick Myers goals. Same with the Ducks. Afraid these guys don't deserve the playoffs. James and Vic.
What a goal, though, man.
Honestly, that was...
that would have been so great.
What a finish.
As they would say across the pond. It's one from the top drawer there from Tyler Myers.
Yes.
Just unlucky.
Yeah, just unlucky. Mac in Nova Scotia. What's the record for hits in a game? 10 for sure with this game. How many more?
Oh, hits in a game? I want to say it's like 15.
15? Was it Luke Shen?
I'll bring this up for you here.
Yeah, we'll find that out in a little bit. But yeah, Gary says Winnipeg is next. They're not Columbus. Yes, they are not Columbus.
Factual.
Fact only on the post-game show. Ray from Olympic Village is frustrating as a fan. I think the fact that we're in these close, meaningful games down the stretch is encouraging despite the lack of starting forwards. Playoffs or not, I'm enjoying watching the hockey games down the stretch. That's Ray from O Village. Some people are still enjoying the hockey despite how heartbreaking the losses have been.
So just to catch you up on the hits, the record is Nikita Zadorov. Sorry, the 15 wasn't Nikita Zadorov years ago with Colorado. Brady Tkachuk now owns the record at 16.
16?
Yeah.
16, all right. Brady Tkachuk.
By the way, do you want to know who's third?
Is it Kiefer Sherwood?
No. Kiefer Sherwood's 12 is his highest.
Is he something stupid?
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Yannick Hansen?
No, Brett Festerling.
Festerling, really?
Yeah, 14 hits.
14 hits.
Let's go, Brett.
Wow. Amazing. 14 hits. Are you texting him right now?
Yeah, 100%. Actually, I'll save that for next show.
I'll save that
for Sunday.
Austin and Langley says, Lecky with no stick twirl during his shootout attempt.
Oh, did he not?
He didn't do it.
Oh, they coached it out of him. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's why. Tockett's biggest mistake.
That's why.
Sarah from Calgary says, I'm blaming my friend after the first messaged me about the Canucks dominating. He's not a Canucks fan and does not know the disappointment we all endure. Sarah, and the Fan 960's favorite Canucks fan. Thanks for texting in, Sarah. Frustrating night here. Yeah, Darren in Vancouver. Canucks have now found their second line center, Atu Ratu. I don't know if I want to go there, but he's played really well. And again, we talk about things he can improve and get better at, but a real strong performance from him tonight.
If you wanted to go a budget version of a third line center, you can talk me into that one. I think that's a huge like promotion, and you're making a big projection. But you know, how are you going to allocate the money this offseason is a fantastic question, because they're going to have a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of tough ones coming up. Rob from New West, the injury to Petey may be a blessing in disguise because it gives other players like Ratu, Carlson, and Lekromäki an opportunity to shine. Offensive play has been better overall in this game. And a lot of people have been texting in. Somebody texted in and said, at least they don't have trouble scoring goals anymore, too, with how many they've scored recently. They have done a better job in generating. Tonight was also a night where a lot of goals went in. Like it was,
yeah,
it wasn't a good performance by you know either goalie between the pucks.
I'm not sure. I'm looking at the recent stretch of goals for as a reflection of improved offense as much as it is some bad goaltending. So Sorokin was not good. Merzlikin was not good. There's your 11 goals. So that to me is far more a reflection of. What their opposition goalie is putting in front of them.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris in Maple Ridge says, how can you guys not give Ratu a star? He had 2 goals. Yeah, fair. It's tough. A lot of guys, like Tyler says, who knew in a game with 12 goals that there will be a lot of points?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how it goes. Go figure. And that's kind of how it works out. Now, we were talking about, we'll see if we get IMAX tonight. It may be touch and go, but we talk about Atu Ratu. Big game from him tonight. Let's hear from him after the game. Here he is with Olivia McDonald after a 7-6 shootout loss in Columbus.
Obviously a lot on the line tonight and not falling your way, but your thoughts on the team's performance through it?
Yeah, obviously the game we're on today, we had some great moments and so did they. And obviously, I think we'd like to play a little bit better on when we have the lead and not give it away. But, you know, both teams' offense was good and defense wasn't that great. But, I mean, every point matters. So I think this, even this one point, could be huge. But obviously we would like to today.
Three goals for yourself over the last two games. What's working for you? What have you thought personally?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, great line mates. Like teams playing good, producing a lot of offense, and yeah, I think our lines playing pretty straight lines, and you know, everybody can read off of each other pretty good, and then, you know, some good bounces around the net and stuff like that. But yeah, it's great to go in.
Yeah, speaking of those line mates, Dakota Joshua grabbing two of those assists as well. What works between you two? What's clicking?
Yeah, I think, like I said, like, we're just playing simple and very predictable, and I think that's when we can play fast. And you know, we know what the next play is going to be. It's going to be a simple play. I think everybody is good on the forecheck. Everybody wants to hit. So I think we're not a line that a lot of D want to play against, because it's, you know, every time it's going behind them and we're hitting.
Of course, you got one more to go on this road trip against Winnipeg. We know it's not going to be easy. What do you want to see from your group heading into that?
Yeah, I think, you know, take the good things. So obviously we'd be able to get a lot of chances, score a lot of goals, but then tighten up the defense and. But yeah, no, I think overall this trip, I think we played good. So I think we want to go in there confident. Obviously, you know, it's going to be a good team against us, but, you know, we're going to be desperate. It's going to be a life or death game.
Life or death hockey coming up on Sunday afternoon against the Winnipeg Jets. What a great lead in to Sunday's game. Come and watch life and death hockey.
is this
going to be like Gladiator?
I just hope everyone's safe.
Come out. They're not having sticks. They have spears. I love it.
Who's the Maximus then? I guess it's Quinn.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Myers, he's the biggest guy. Who'd you want out there?
Who is...
Would Myers kind of be like Xerxes from 300? anyways, we don't need to go down that road anymore.
Wasn't the other commander General Quintus?
I can't remember exactly.
Perhaps. That be Quinn? Although he may have been on the wrong side of history there.
So Sarah texted in and said they had a friend text in and jinxed the score.
Yeah.
Tyler says, is Sarah's friend Dan Riccio? Jinxio? Jinxio? Like, so, somebody says, I blame Dan Jinxio.
Did that get created today?
That was crowned on Canucks Brunch by Josh and Lena.
There we go.
Yeah.
Another label for Riccio there. 650, 650. Last thoughts here. Sabres, Rob. So do we turn Horvat into Hronek and Ratu? If so, wow. Gotta like Ratu after tonight.
Yeah. With Ratu, to me, it's going to come down to next year. But that's been the promising part of this year here, right? And somebody texted and said, you know, at least part of the silver lining with this season is these guys getting a chance. Mm-hmm. And not just for like us to get to watch them, and you know, can they get a leg up on maybe doing something greater next year?
They're doing well.
Yeah, so
it's a nice, healthy step that the young players are taking.
How much can this inspire their offseason to do that extra, to take that step that they require from these guys?
Yeah, as we were just talking about Ratu, you know, potential options here as far as third line center, it'd be a big projection. It all depends, like, what pathway you're taking. You can have all the options. It's a matter of if you activate those options. I think that'd be a high-risk move there, and that money better get resourced into the top six to say, okay, we got an ELC at third line center. Teddy Bluger's there. We're not re-signing Piyu Suter, whose number just keeps going up and up and up right now. If you're going to put Ratu in a spot where you go Ratu and Bluger down the middle to begin the season, you better be spending big money this offseason then into the top six.
They have to.
Yeah.
I think the way I've looked at this roster for next year is you have to give at least 2 to 3 spots to guys from Abbotsford. Ideally, you want somebody in that, you know, middle six role. I think he'll get a chance to maybe play in the top six, but maybe play on the third line. Like, there's a chance there on the right wing for him. And then you're going to need Ratu, Carlson, or even, you know, Baines or whatever, like one or two of those guys to play on your fourth line and be the 13th forward. So you need to add 2 or 3 of these guys. And if you do that, then you're going to have upwards of $13.5 million to spend on 2 offensive players. And you can also create more space, mm-hmm. but that's how much money they have if they are willing to promote these young guys and then use their money for those 2 top 6 forwards. Now, is Brock going to be one of them? But, you know, it's not an insignificant amount of money. At the same time, it's not the biggest amount, but that to me should be fully earmarked to making your top six better.
And there are ways to open up more cash too if you want to pull those levers. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a situation where you're paying $2.6 million, is that right, good math? $2.65 million on Bluger and Ratu, and that's your intended plan to begin the season, and maybe there's a graduation process by game 30 where Ratu leapfrogs Bluger and Bluger goes fourth line, Ratu shows that he's capable of third line minutes, then either via the trade market or like a big swing for an injection of talent needs to happen in the top six, because they're like multiple bodies short here. Because I don't think you can live in a world where Jake DeBrusque is your second best forward.
No, I mean, absolutely not. Yeah. He should be on your... I like Jake DeBrusque as a second line left winger.
Yeah, or...
Or like the third guy on a line, yes, in your top six. So you have, let's say you have Pettersson and another really good winger on the right side.
Pettersson and your high-ticket item with Jake DeBrusque.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Like third guy on the line, your top line, or your second guy on a line in your second line. That's how he fits in, right? But he, like, Lankanen this year has done his job. Like, I mean, sorry, DeBrusque has done his job. He's making $5.5 million, and with the cap going up for a guy who has 23 goals, 24 goals now after tonight, he's gonna have 25 on the season most likely. And if you get 25 goals, like, you know, like he's done more than enough.
No complaints. But as far as like building a competitive team,
yes, you need something above that. Yeah. But what the hope had been was that a guy like DeBrusque becomes more. Can become like a 30-plus guy, and guy can drive a bit more. And I just don't think he's that type of player, ultimately.
I'll say what I said in July. I don't worry about him getting 25. Mm. If you want him to be 35, that relies on Elias Pettersson bringing 10 extra goals out of him. But we haven't gotten that version of Elias Pettersson this year. Mm. So I think I'm always going to look at Jake DeBrusque and 22, 25. That's his talent level.
Yeah,
but if, if you want to have the spike seasons and like, oh, the shooting percentage is going through, that like somebody else has to bring that out of him. And when Elias Pettersson is playing this version that we've seen this year, it's just not going to happen.
But that's not too dissimilar from Brock, right?
Yeah.
That like they're good players, but they need somebody else to get the best out of them, right? And that's why they fall into that class. Now, Besser has a better track record. I think he's still a better finisher, has been. Now, this year, obviously, DeBrusque has scored a little bit more, but I think that's where, you know, I'm
Brock's also played less games.
Yes. So I think Brock is still the better goal scorer, but that's the thing both these guys are. They're complementary scorers on a team. They're nice to have. You have to have – I'm not saying get rid of both guys, right? It's more like you need some guys that are higher above them that can get the most out of them. And hopefully one of those players next season is Elias Pettersson. Josh in Mission says, re-sign Brock, bring back Suter as 2C, and then try to sign Ehlers, and you wait for an opportunity to buy, get a center later on.
I don't think there's enough money for that.
No, I think – I mean, there isn't enough money for – like he says 3.5 for Suter. I think it's going to have to be closer to
– That was yesterday's price.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer to 4. If not higher, right? But we'll see. The money that he has, that's 16, that's 20 million. Canucks have 13 million in cap space.
I was going to say, well, just Brock and Ehlers alone.
The numbers he put out, but like, so what they would have to do that, they have to go and trade
Hoglander,
go Garland. And trade Garland to create that cap space. So that's where it's at. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox as always. Appreciate all the texts and your thoughts. After a tough loss, 7-6 for the Canucks in a shootout against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Another big game coming up on Sunday, 12 o'clock noon start in Winnipeg against the Jets. Thank you all for listening and participating in the show tonight. We're going to call it a night here. No iMac, unfortunately. We'll try to get him for the Sunday night game. Thanks to Facity Gregory, our producer. Thanks to Bick Nazar. I'm Satyar Shah, and this has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.